The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk. We've got
to They call me the promo king.
We have gotten to basketball. We have gotten to baseball.
Yeah.
We have talked football. We have talked NASCAR. I mean, golf.
We're hitting everything. A little bit for everyone.
I mean, a little bit of everything here. We're getting news coming through of teams shutting down superstars so that they can just tank in peace and quit having to listen to everyone complain about them tanking. It's like, hey, you know, one way that we can only not have to play our guys only 21 minutes a night. We're just going to shut them down for the whole season.
Yeah, you put it right. Tank in peace.
I would point to, if I were them, I'd be like, you did this. All right. You, all of you out there, you kept complaining about it. So this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is funny because this does, if, It's very unique what we've seen with the Utah Jazz, right? I think this has been well documented by people. I heard Brian Windhorst bring this up the other day. Danny Ainge, very, very respected, obviously, in the NBA. They did get fined last year for Lauri Markkanen skipping a game when he was healthy. So I think there's been some conversation in the NBA circles of like, this is kind of Danny Ainge's way of getting back at the NBA offices for laying down a fine on them last year. Fine, we'll play the guys. You want to see the stars? We'll play the stars. We're just not going to play them for the whole game. So I don't know, but I'd rather have it where we don't have to guess on this type of stuff, right? And
I like this approach better than the, is he going to play 15 minutes or is he going to play 25 minutes?
Exactly.
Or is he going to whatever? Like, okay, fine. Shut him down. I don't care. And counter argument to the tanking thing is just this. There are teams that are very good now who got to where they are because of tanking. And they got to the top of the draft and they got players that were franchise altering players by tanking. Mm-hmm. And so like now all of a sudden we're going to be like, well, you guys can't tank. It's just they started tanking too early.
Right.
Pre-All-Star break tanking, I think, is the problem in all of this, not the art of the tank itself.
Well, and it's even, we went documented this with a couple of the teams the other day. I mean, Joe Tsai owns the Nets, was talking about this before the season started, man. Right, it's like look at our team. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really good draft class. You kind of know what we're probably going to do, right? Like compare the Jazz to the Wizards, right? We can all roll our eyes. Like, yes, it is ridiculous, hilarious, whatever word you want to use. When they trade for Anthony Davis and he comes in, takes a bunch of pictures with the team, and then they're like, "Oh, he's out for the rest of the season or out indefinitely. The hand's hurt, and we're going to send him back to Dallas to get his hand looked at," right? But we can all roll our eyes for one day, and guess what? You get to move on after that, and you actually know who you should expect to see in the Wizards lineup every day. So I'm with you. I'd rather know what to expect. It's a fun puzzle to figure out with the Jazz, but I'd rather know what to expect.
Yeah, it's and at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be mad about this, but you brought this on them. Mm-hmm. Like we complained at such a fever pitch that they go, okay, fine, okay. Here's what happened. He's got a knee thing. So there you go.
Done. I also just don't know. I keep going back to it, man. Like you brought up, it's the tanking, the lottery, this stuff has worked out for teams. So why would these teams be discouraged? And I don't have the answer. We can all be angry about it. I'm still yet to hear an answer that I think is perfect. And a lot of these are ways to incentivize these bad teams to win down the stretch, but like it's or reward teams who don't finish last. But then you get into the basic problem of why do we have drafts and draft orders in the first place? Bad teams are just going to possibly remain bad, and it just is completely unfair to them in the long term. So it's all tough. It stinks, though. It stinks. We're talking about it even this much.
It who it really, really stinks for is the fans who may or may not want to come out in person because. They've got the TV money already. That doesn't matter. That's not a big deal. It's just the people who might every now and then, they're not even the season ticket holders. Maybe season ticket holders might be a little bit more invested in the team being good, you know, like the next year or something, or trying to get good. But yes, it's the people who go to three games a year, four games a year, and you show up, you took off work, or you skipped out on dinner with the fam or something, whatever, and you go, and then it's It's nobody. It's none of the guys out there.
And it's
that's who it really.
Don't want to defend the Wizards anymore here, but it is. Yes, I think the worst the story that you hear always, it's hey, I bought tickets. I brought my 10-year-old son who'd never been to an NBA game before. This guy was supposed to play. This guy's supposed to play. And now he's not playing all of a sudden. Well, the Wizards are telling you up front, you're not going to see anybody big if you come to our game. So save that money. Use there it for go. Something else.
Oklahoma City out to 14 now against Milwaukee. And we mentioned upon the news that Utah was going to be sitting Jaren Jackson Jr. for the rest of the season. 8.5 now, Portland. We'll get to Dallas and the Lakers here in just a second. But the AFC East, an interesting division because we have a Super Bowl participant in the Patriots. We have a perennial Super Bowl contender in the Bills just because you have Josh Allen. And then we have two absolute dumpster fires in the Jets and the Dolphins. And so definitely a two-team division. There is not going to be a worst-to-first situation in this division. I can promise you that. It is not going to be where we get Jets and Dolphins all of a sudden, you know, jump up and make this massive leap to overcome both the Patriots and the Bills. In my opinion, the Patriots are actually only going to get better because the defense is pretty much intact. And so you can just focus on the offense and add an offensive lineman, add a receiver. And I think that you're pretty good from a Patriot standpoint. And then the Bills, as long as they have Josh Allen, they're always going to be in it. They've got to go get a receiver very badly. Yeah. Like they need a receiver. Like we said, we know of some teams that are in what position they're going to take so long as there's anyone with a pulse there. The Bills are going to take a receiver as long as there's anybody with a pulse there.
Man, and I've made this joke a few times on the show, Matt. You know what school I bet you they don't take a wide receiver from? Florida State.
Yeah.
That has not worked out well. And we'll see, like, you know, is an A.J. Brown available, right? Is there someone available they can go make a move for? It's... I think they need that guy. I love Dalton Kincaid. I think Khalil Shakir is one of the more frustrating players in the NFL because it feels like he goes on for 2 or 3 weeks, we're like, man, Khalil Shakir is incredible. And the consistency is impressive. And then he disappears for like a month, right? So I think they have the good pieces. In my mind, they have the good pieces to surround an alpha wide receiver. So it is like, it'd be nice to see them go make a big move like that. At these numbers, I am fascinated by some of these odds that we've seen. I think we're too bunched together on Bills and Patriots. This again, it's Patriots were in the Super Bowl. You just said it. They can get better. They were ahead of where they should have been, in my opinion. This is a team that is still building upward. I think they're going to still get better. Part of the reason they got to the Super Bowl, though, was because the AFC path was a little weaker, right? The schedule was a little weaker for them in the regular season. Things opened up a little bit in the playoffs. So, look, I think I can sit here and say about the Patriots, I think this team is going to be better next year. I also don't think that there's much of a chance they make the Super Bowl. That's just how I feel about this team going next year. But division odds, remember a year ago, What did the Bills close at? Like 250, 220, something like that? I think we're getting quite a bit of discount based off of one season. We talk all year long about how small of a sample size the NFL just is in general. I said the other day, I think as soon as I see the Bills go and address a wide receiver position, if they do anything on the defensive side of the ball, I'll be back in on this team pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, I said I like the Patriots, but I do still like the Bills better. The Dolphins are going to figure out what they're going to do with Tua. Obviously, we know they want to get him out of town, but is anyone going to take on that salary?
Give me your best guess on win totals on Jets and Dolphins.
3.5 would be my guess.
Both Dolphins? Yeah. I guess I'm a little surprised. This is where it's always tough, division odds, because neither team stands a chance, in my opinion, to win the division. I'm a little surprised.
Maybe 4.5 on the Dolphins because there's a tiny bit of talent there. 4.5, 5.5, something like that. Jets will be 3.5 because they don't even have a quarterback.
Okay, so yeah, like what? Why are the Dolphins that much longer in the division odds than the Jets? Because I agree with you. I would answer the exact same
way. My guess is because they're factoring in that the Dolphins are very likely to start Quinn Ewers as opposed to Tua.
And the Jets might add something too.
Jets have the opportunity to, and I mean, the 49ers say they're not trading Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones played well enough for them that he could probably start in this league. Malik Willis is going to be out there. Does he land there? We don't think Kirk Cousins lands there. I mean,
the starter's not on the roster right now, right?
Right. Okay. I mean, does Jameis Winston end up, you know, so like there are names that could end up going in there and starting that give them a better shot, probably, than what Quinn Ewers gives the Dolphins.
God, give Jameis a starting job anywhere, Matt. Anywhere.
Malik Willis is going to start somewhere.
Oh, probably. He will. He deserves to.
Yeah. Like, he's probably going to start.
I don't really know that. I don't know if I can remember a player in recent history that I've done more of a 180 on. I never thought we were going to hear that name again when he went to Green Bay. But yeah, man, I think he has absolutely proven in a backup role.
And same with Mac Jones, but the 49ers they came out this week during the Super Bowl and said, we have, and you got to say this, I guess, but I mean, they're like, we have no interest in trading Mac Jones, but that just means come to us with the very best offer.
I do think it's going to take a pretty sweet offer to get him out of there, only because of how injured Brock Purdy's been, right? And how many times
he was.
And how, right, exactly. How good Mac Jones was and how good this roster is, right? Yeah. Like, you are actually in the rare position, I think, if you're in the Niners, that if you roll with that like this year, you're feeling pretty comfortable with what you have at the quarterback position, no matter who's healthy, right? Yeah. As long as one of those two guys is good to go.
Yeah, to me, it's fascinating for both of these teams, because I think the Dolphins really want to move on from Tua, get to Ewers. How much of that salary are they going to have to eat? All of that. Is anyone willing to trade for him? Probably not. The Jets. Who wants to go there? That's the thing.
Kyler Murray.
If they trade for Kyler Murray, if I was a Jets fan and they traded for Kyler Murray, I would full on, that would be the end of fandom.
You know what this is? It's like the Trey Young to the Wizards. It's like, I don't know, just give him somebody who's going to run around and make a few exciting plays happen for, you know. Like
Jameis.
I know Jameis would be amazing. My eyes lit up big time.
Jameis is the guy. This is what we should be doing.
I need another.
Let's will this into existence.
I need another 30 season in my lifetime, Matt. Yeah. And Jameis Winston's the only guy who can deliver.
And he's good for sound bites for us. Great, you know, for that's all we need. When we come back, let's talk some more baseball with Joe Sheehan.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. And I can tell you right now, if Pearson Cootie wins this tournament, I'm going to be so mad because I forgot to bet him when I said, you know, on two different occasions when I told you.
Oh, man, we're started. Yeah, we started.
We're going. The Fleets is out to at 1-under through 1. I don't know if you know or not. I drafted him. He's on my team. He's on my
team. That's right. I had to think for a second what the hell you were talking about. Yeah, the draft we just did 45 minutes ago. Yeah,
I'm going to, I'm going to win a $300 drink from you.
That's right. Well, I got Alex Smalley, Joe Highsmith, and Tommy Fleetwood, 1-under par. Oh, how about the other side of things? You got through one, Alex Noren, 1-over. Major winner, JJ Spahn, 2-over par. And Aaron Rye also 2-over.
Oh, yes, the old double there for JJ Spahn, who has not started out well, to this season, not following up. 245 into the fairway. He was 130 out, put it into a bunker, then blasted the bunker too far, ends up doubling that hole.
Yes.
Middle of the fairway with a 130 out for a pro golfer doubling is that's what I do, Kelly.
Not the way you want to start a golf tournament.
That's what I do. I double from 130 out in the middle of the fairway. Not pro golfers, but JJ Spahn, bad start there to get things going. Of course, we'll keep you updated here over the next hour. It's to let you know how this is progressing over there at Pebble. But now joining us here on the program, you know Joe Sheehan from the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, joesheehan.com, at @Joe_Sheehan over on the Twitter machine. He is, in fact, Joe Sheehan. How you doing, buddy?
Good, fellas. Good to hear that JJ Spahn's not doing well, because I have no piece of him at all this week.
Yeah. I made the mistake, Joe, of backing him a couple weeks ago. Like Matt just said, I think I will be laying off that until I see a pulse from the guy, and we are not seeing that yet.
Yeah, he's not picking up where he left off. That is for sure. Joe, before we get into some of your thoughts here on the season, what's up with all the hamates, man? What do we got to do to protect people's hamates?
it's such a frustrating injury because it's not even like we look at pitchers where you say, okay, if these guys don't throw so hard, maybe they won't blow out their UCLs. Or you go back 30 years, okay, if we don't work them so hard, they won't blow out their shoulders. A Hammond injury just kind of tends to happen, I'll say at random, but it's not something we have a real prevention for. It tends to happen. I think it's a contact injury where the bone, and some of the idea of a bone conflicting with the knob of the bat and possibly creating it. So obviously a terrible day yesterday. We got the news on Holiday. We got the news on Carroll. You know, we're still waiting to hear what's going to happen with Francisco Lindor. And it's tough because pitchers and catchers report, we're all supposed to be so excited and happy. And we had, what, 5 injuries? You throw in Spencer Schwellenbach as well. Just not really the launch you want to get for baseball season.
Yeah, not ideal. Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, joesheehan.com. Go check it out. One of the absolute best in the biz. We love talking baseball with Joe as much as we can. Joe, I want to start National League with you. I know we're going to get you back on next week as well. We'll do American League then, do National League today. I know you've got multiple bets you like with the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs are fill in the blank for me. The what best team in the National League this year?
Oh, a clear second for me. And I've got, you know, some of the, we'll talk a little bit later about the some teams in the American, the National League East, but I think they're pretty close to the Dodgers, actually. Now, if you look at last year, one of the things I like to look at, guys, is the true talent of the team, the third order record, which is something Clay Davenport, one of the originators of Baseball Prospectus, he came up with forever ago. He still publishes those numbers at claydavenport.com. The Cubs last year were a true talent 96-win team, 96-66. Now, you look at what they did in the offseason, and effectively, it's a 2-for-2. They lost Tucker and Matt Shaw, and they replaced them with Alex Bregman and Moises Ballesteros. I don't think that's a big fall off, and I love Tucker, but I think they're basically going to have the same offense and defense. And you look at the improvements they made in that bullpen. That was the weak spot for them last year, guys. That was one of the reasons they didn't play to that 96-66 record. So I start with them as a 96-win team. I say they basically lose a game, maybe two, with the changes in the offense. I think the upgrades to the rotation with Eduardo Cabrera and a bunch of relievers is going to keep them well over 90 wins.
So their biggest competition, I would assume you think, is the Brewers in that one. Is there anything that could get the Brewers to topple this Cubs team, in your opinion? I know whenever you kind of look down, probably not in love with the rotation there for the Brewers, but lineup-wise, top to bottom, not as strong as the Cubs, but not too far off.
And they do the things they do well, right? They put the ball in play. They're one of the best base running teams in baseball. Last year, we saw them, you know, play that to a T. They had that huge run in the middle of the summer, ended up beating up the Cubs. I don't think you have to look that hard to see a scenario where the Brewers do beat out the Cubs simply because we just watched it happen. The trade of Freddie Peralta has driven down their number a bit. But one thing we know about the Brewers, they can find arms. You're going to see more of Jacob Mizorowski this year. Hopefully, you're going to see more of Logan Henderson this year. So I think they're going to replace the arms. The offense, you know, we saw what happens when they ran into the power pitching of the Dodgers in the playoffs. I think that's got to be the real concern for them. You know, can they score enough runs against good pitching staffs to compete? I've got them contending for the wild card, but right now I think there's a pretty good gap between the Cubs and the Brewers in that division. I think you can make a case that the Pirates can sneak ahead of the Brewers and even the Reds. If you look at the pitching on both of those teams, question is, will either one of them hit enough?
Over in the NL East, Joe, no, you got a couple bets there, and talked about a couple overs you just had there in the Central and the East, a couple unders that you're looking at here on two teams.
Yeah, the Phillies are just old, and I'm always going to try to fade age. You look at the core of that team, Turner, Harper, you know, Zach Wheeler's not going to start the year because he had the thoracic outlet surgery last year. It's just a very, very old team, and you know, one of their best younger players, Aiden Miller, his top prospect, it's going to be hard for him to get on the field with Turner and Alec Boehm at second and third and short. So I'm not sure that their team age isn't going to drive them down this year. I'm always going to bet against that. Remember, too, they lost Ranger Suarez. They're trying to bring in Andrew Painter, who basically spent the last 3 years. He's a top prospect 3 years ago. Is still a top prospect, but has yet to pitch in the major league. So just a lot of questions about their roster makeup. We know that if they're in the race, Dave Dombrowski will go out and make deals. So that's one of the reasons to kind of worry about the number. But right now I have them, and to get into the next one, the Braves, both going under their numbers. I think the Mets are the favorite in that division. You look at the Braves, and I should note here that I made this pick before the Spencer Schwellenbach news. But I just, you look at that rotation, and it's a lot of guys who are coming off short seasons. Sale, Lopez didn't pitch at all. You look at, you know, Hurston Weldrup, who I like, only threw, it was 60 innings in the major leagues. You wonder, how are they going to keep a rotation making 30 starts a guy throughout the season? And they started to thin out at the upper levels. They're going to get Acuna back. That's going to help them. I just, there's a lot of things about the pitching staff I don't really trust. So both of these teams, I can see going under their number. I could see that division actually being won with just 89 or 90 wins.
Joe, we get this Dodgers team that has a ridiculous, I mean, as high as 104.5 win total. I think it's at least settled now more at the 103.5 as people just say 105 wins is a ridiculous amount of wins. When you look at this team, I'm not going to ask what their path to success is. We know what it is. They have the best players and they have incredible depth. But like, what is the route to them not having success this year?
Choice. The Dodgers learned in that 2016 to 2020 period, 22 period, where they would win 110, 111 games, losing the playoffs, and nobody would care about their regular season. They learned that they've just got to manage their season for the playoffs. And the last 2 years, we've seen them do that and walk through the postseason. So the Dodgers are going to play with their food. The Dodgers are going to give their pitchers what I call Dodger vacations. And just, oh, I'm sorry, you scratched your nail? That's 2 weeks on the IL. And they're going to do that throughout the year. So the Dodgers' motivation isn't to win 106 games. The Dodgers' motivation is to win 11 games in October. That's why I do think their under is a great bet as far as I'm concerned, even with Tucker. I just don't think they care about winning that 105th game. They care about winning that 11th game in early November.
Yeah, Joe, so this is, I think, one thing to talk about Cubs possibly beating them out for World Series or the pennant. You're looking at a team, though, that even could top them in the division race here.
Yeah, and again, I want to mention, this is before the Corbin Carroll news, but I think the Diamondbacks, I got to pick one team to win that division other than the Dodgers. I'm down on the Padres, who seem to be moving out of that we're going to compete mode. They've got a really bad back of the rotation. I don't like anything the Giants have done for 2 years now. But I look at the Diamondbacks with that core of Marte, Perdomo, Carroll. They brought back Merrill Kelly. They're going to give Jordan Lawler a shot this year, finally in left field. They traded for Arenado, who lifts their floor a little bit. Third base is going to be a hole for them. So I look at all of the things they're doing and say, you know, if I could pick one team to get to 90, 91 wins, and the Dodgers play with their food and they have a couple of injuries, because very old lineup as well. Otani, Betts, Freeman, Muncy, this is a very old roster. You know, where is the overlap between these two teams? And what I'm saying here is 22-1 is less than 5% to win the division. I'm not saying they're a favorite. I'm saying it's more like 15%. It's more like 20%, where the Diamondbacks' upside overlaps with the Dodgers' downside. Remember, last year the Dodgers were tied for the division lead late August with the Padres. A couple of years ago, they were in a similar kind of race with the Padres. We've seen the Dodgers do this, where they just kind of hang around, play with their food, even last year. Remember, they had to play in the first round of the playoffs last year because they didn't win enough games to get the bye. So, again, I think that number should be more like 15-1. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth throwing some fraction of a unit on it, take a shot at the Diamondbacks.
Joe, we've only got 15 seconds. We know if he stays healthy, it's Shohei's award, the MVP over in the NL. Who wins it if, for whatever reason, he spends some sort of length of time on the DL?
Juan Soto. Just a great offensive force, and it would be on a Mets team that wins the division.
He is Joe Sheehan, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, joesheehan.com, and at @Joe_Sheehan over on the Twitter machine. Thanks for the time, man. Good luck.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Summers. Some good baseball talk today.
Oh, he screwed it up first. I almost called him Gil yesterday.
Oh, did I call you?
Mike Summers.
I called Joe Summers?
Not Mike Summers. Kelly Bidlin. I don't win horse racing bets.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Triples? Triple crown? Triple, what are they, trifectas? No, the superfectas.
I've won like one horse racing bet in the time that you and I have known each other.
I think
we won the same one.
I've won like seven, but I just, there's no skill behind that.
I fully admit
that it's a joke.
Are you fully tailing Samich, or are you still being the heel and doing the exact opposite?
That's what I'm saying. There's no skill behind it. It is, I'm picking trifecta boxes just based off of the horses' names, basically.
Right. Okay. Oh, well.
Let me tell you, though.
You're having some success with that.
Profitable.
Profitable.
Profitable so far. In all of that, I mean, baseball guests that have given us a ton to think about, a ton to bet.
Oh, I mean, we're so good today.
Again, Shohei is -125. Minus 125 to win MVP. So, like, You're getting 8-1 on Juan Soto. I mean, like, again, you are making a bet. You are making a bet that he's going to get hurt. Because if he doesn't get hurt, he's going to win the MVP again.
What are we expectations from a pitching standpoint? He's a full go this year?
So from what we're hearing, six-man rotation type thing. So, like, he's not going to get
as many starts.
Near as many starts and innings and things and whatever as everybody else. But the fact that he also hits 40 home runs plus and steals base. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's one of those bets where you could easily, it's minus 120. You 3 months into the season, you could immediately feel like an idiot for not having bet at all.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe just bet them and like him and them to win the World Series.
I'll probably bet it. I've definitely become that guy that's just like slowly turning into a Dodgers fan.
Again, the bet against is you have to, and it's such a horrible thing to hope because you don't want to hope this with one of the greatest, if not the greatest player we've ever seen in our lives. Yeah. But like, he's going to have to miss 6 to 8 weeks or something this season, you know? Because even if he only misses a month, he's going to put up so much in the rest of the time that he's there. He's probably still going to
win. Yeah.
So you need like 6 to 8 weeks of him on the IL. I said DL, or you can't say DL anymore. It's IL.
That's right. Get it together. That changed like 2 years ago. Even I know that. Get it together, Matt Brown. Adam Rosenberg, Joe Sheehan, great work those guys do. Love to talking to both of them on the show. You were kind of making fun of me off air. Yeah, man, I'm excited for baseball season. These guys are getting me excited, man. Between listening to you, those two. You know, it's interesting. We talk about this all the time. The things that you bet, the things that maybe you used to bet. Like baseball, I used to be a daily baseball bettor a decade ago. And it's just, I think you got to pick and choose a little bit where you're spending your time and try to, you know, where your expertise are going to land. And it's just NBA have been doing it for a long time. I think in the past 5-6 years, golf has become much more, especially the past few years since me and you started betting it pretty similarly, right? We kind of worked on a lot of this together with golf. And NFL's always been the NFL, right? So those are kind of the three sports where I spend 95% of my time from a handicapping standpoint. Just what that means is there's not much time left for baseball. However, I'll tell you, over the past couple of years, I'm getting that itch more and more. That's for sure.
Well, it is, and just you have to morph a little bit how you bet it. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. Just how to bet, how to bet baseball a little bit. So yeah,
I know that part's changed in the 12 years since I was betting it.
So we have one game left to talk about, and that is the Mavericks at the Lakers, 10-10 Eastern. And with that, this number has fallen to 6.5, oh, Kelly. No. So I'm wondering what's going on. I was looking for any news, but of course we're trying to do a show. We know no Luka. This will be his 12th missed game of the season. So no Luka in this one. No Cooper Flagg in this one for the Mavs as he's dealing with a mid-foot sprain. So we will not have Luka. We will not have Cooper Flagg, but the number's moving. So I don't know if there's news that has come out that we're not seeing or what.
I'm going to guess, Matt, this is actually just Mavericks bets because this is this number didn't really make much sense to me either. I haven't bet it yet because I was going to wait and see if it possibly, you know, well, you rarely get these in the NBA, right? But there's three whole games today. The Lakers are involved. I'm assuming this is on national television tonight. The late tip somewhere.
I think we're priming on this one.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
I think. By the way, just overall, just the slate real quick, right? Thursday before the All-Star break, Milwaukee and Oklahoma City. Can Giannis take down the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? Oh, the return game. Luka Doncic takes on the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, well,
we're not getting any of that.
Well, here we go. They're both on Prime. So, like, you know, if a game happens on Prime, does it really even happen?
So. You know what? You know what's so funny how different? It's like the sports. What sports you bet? What sports you pay attention to? Sometimes I'm sitting at home on my couch and I'm like, why do I pay for anything else but Prime? Like that's basically all I need for my life.
And you had Prime anyway because you want stuff to show up the next day.
Or the same day. Yeah. Or like you go out drinking one night and then you wake up the next morning and there's a box at your door and you're like, what did happen here?
Not to derail because we're gonna get back on this game, but what I will say is, you learn this when you travel a little bit. If you go like stay with family or something. Living in Las Vegas that has like a distribution center, getting stuff the same day is not a thing everywhere. It's like you have to live in certain spots.
I did not know
that. When I was back in Louisiana last time, I was like, what do you mean I have to wait 2 days? Remember how it was awesome that you used to get everything in 2 days and you were so happy? And now I get angry when I don't get stuff the same day. And I'm like, what do you mean I can't get this the same day? I'm supposed to get multiple options here, whether I want this here in 2 hours or whether I want this here in 4 hours. Like, what do you mean I got to wait 2 days? This is uncalled for.
Yeah, it's bad. It is bad.
Yeah. So if you got to,
I did not know that though. I didn't know that was the reason we get stuff so much quicker.
Lakers on the end of a 3-4 here in this one. And of course, this Mavericks team lost 8 straight games.
Yeah, this is, man, I'll tell you though, you just take a little bit longer step back and bigger picture with these two teams. It's not as bad. I mean, the Lakers have not been great. I mean, they're 8-7 over their last 15. They're very middle of the road offensively. They are. It's a negative net rating for them over that time span. And the defense has been a problem for a while. We knew it was going to be a problem the whole season. No Luka, no Cooper Flagg. It's a gross game. I don't know that I'm going to end up on a bet, Matt, but I'll tell you, kind of my numbers say bet the Mavericks. It does say this should be closer to, you know, 4.5, 5 for me. And if we're getting over that, that's what I'm saying. I'm not really surprised to see this come down. I was hoping there was just going to be some Laker love here on kind of the last night of the season. See some Lakers bets, especially for us here in Vegas. Maybe some Lakers bets come in and push this bet further out to 8. Now that it's coming back in, I think 7 still a bet. Might be a small one for me. I'll probably make it on the break just small at 7. But also, oh, you know what? Here's the other reason why. Najee Marshall, questionable.
Okay.
I was going to mention Najee Marshall props. That makes more sense. Okay. He showed up. Him and Caleb Martin have popped up, I guess, this morning, questionable for this team. I missed that earlier. Definitely wasn't on the injury report last night. So
if that's the case, then
that would make more
sense. Isn't 236.5 too high? If we're missing, like, a lot of scorers in this game?
I want to say yes, except I don't trust this Lakers defense at all. Still got Daniel Gafford backing things up on the back line for Dallas. But yeah, I mean, you're talking, if there's no, I mean, no Cooper Flagg, no Caleb Barton, no Najee Marshall, no Luka. I mean, Austin Reeves is going to play. LeBron's going to play, but Austin Reeves is still working his way back from the injury.
I was about to say, like, he's not getting full minutes.
He won't, although I've heard different things on that. I think we're going to see about 30 from him.
Oh, okay.
I do think he's going to be high 20s. He's kind of been working his way back to that range, but the only reason I kind of doubt that a little bit, Matt, you're really going to push him on the day before the All-Star break?
That's because, hey, what's the point?
What's the point of that? Exactly. So I guess I'm a little skeptical of that. That's probably a long way of saying I wouldn't be betting Austin Reeve props either way, because I have heard they're going to be pushing him a little bit more, but it doesn't really check out in my brain.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Okay, so real quick, and we'll get to the other markets here on the other side. Let's start with, since the discussions are more in depth for MVP, coach, and defense, what about most improved player in your mind?
Well, this one is the one I've had my eye on for the past couple of weeks without making a bet. I have made a bet in defensive player of the year and coach of the year here in the past 2 weeks. So we'll talk about that, or past week even, in those markets. Most improved, I think, is fascinating right now, because it's a heck of a most improved player race. There was Denny, Jalen Johnson, Keyonte George, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jalen Duren, Anthony Black. I'll even go Colin Gillespie, Ryan Rollins, Jalen Tyson. All these guys belong in this conversation. The three at the top have separated themselves. I think this is a great three-horse race we have down to the stretch between Denny Avdia, Jalen Johnson, and Keyonte George. You go and look at numbers and what they've improved upon from last year. I think all three are deserving, but it's a discussion with each one of them.
Avdia coming off a horrible game last night, and three of his last four, I mean, have been bad.
We were just looking at that during a break. One of the big questions, because Gil and I have talked a bit about this, he has not gotten in on Denny on most improved. He's been talking about this all year. You missed some games because of a back injury. Then you miss games again because of a back injury. Now we can sit back and look what he's done. Like you just said, Matt, three of the last four not looked good. If you watched any of that game last night, Denny Avdia not looking like himself. Keyonte George, he's getting benched now by the tanking Jazz. Are the seas parting for Jalen Johnson to steal this award? I think there's a good chance that he does.
We'll get some MVP, some coach, and some defensive player of the year on the other side. And of course, all the bets from us and the guests when we return here on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, as we are rocking and rolling over there at AT&T Pebble Beach. And let me tell you, people started, the guys we thought might be hot, started out hot.
Started hot.
Hisatsune 2-under, Siwoo the Kim 2-under, Tommy Fleetwood 2-under, Pearson Cootie is 1-under. Rory goes out and birdies 1. So here we go.
It's on.
It is going to be fun.
The one I just looked up and saw him laughing because we should have brought up his name is probably the most obvious person to try to copy the Rory style and just bomb it everywhere. Pot Geeter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's ever played at this course. Like, let me just rip it. I'll find it wherever it is.
Just take my 190 ball speed and just, like, aim straight at the pin every single time. Just
I'll figure it out when I get down there.
Who cares? Wherever it is. It's either going to be out of bounds or, like, right next to the green. You know, I'll just play it one way or the other. Gil's playing a couple of tennis matches, so we're going to go ahead and let you guys know what he's doing on here.
Yeah, he does. ATP Dallas, Ethan Quinn on the money line, plus 140 over Marin Cilic. Haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
And then in Buenos Aires, Mariano Navone, money line, minus 133 versus Camilo Hugo Carabelli. That's what I'm going to go with, Matt.
I like it. I think you nailed it, actually.
I was waiting for a cry. You don't know him.
I'm going to go with it. Nailed it.
All right, thank you. It's definitely Camilo Hugo, right? I might be off on the last name.
Here's the thing. Google it. Who cares?
Yeah, what I always try to do for the audience is do the phonetical, right? So when you go to your sports book, you just listen to me and type it in that way.
So I am on Chet Holmgren under 18.5 points tonight in the Bucks-Thunder game. This is a massive spread. Like I said, already out to 14 at some of the books out there. He's been actually under this point total 7 of his last 8, including all 3 of these games that they played without SGA. So is he even going to get full minutes in this one with the spread being so ridiculous? And if they go out and handle business like it is, Bucks, a slow paced team in the first place, so maybe a couple fewer possessions. And then, of course, they do actually defend down low decently comparatively to what they do outside. And Chet gets about 51% of his points down low as it is anyway. So anyway, under 18.5 points for Chet here in this one, in a game in which I think could get out of hand. And then he just finds himself comfortably on the bench, because why would you risk it? As we head into the All-Star.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I like that bet. I think Chet Holmgren might become an interesting what if story, right? If he's not going to care if he's winning championship after championship with SGA, but would he be I don't know. Would we consider him in that same air as a close to Wemby, right? If he was on his own team somewhere. Right. And I don't know. Like, I don't, and a lot of it because of the scoring, you haven't really seen that high-end scoring from him, but he also hasn't been asked to do that either, so it's tough to judge.
That's the thing, too, is like, and again, we'll get to the other bets here, but I mean, you know, when he's gone under, 8 attempts, 10 attempts, 10 attempts, 9 attempts, like, he just doesn't shoot very much. He knows his role. He plays his role. He does what he's supposed to do, and he's happy with it.
Yep, exactly.
Got to kind of tip of the cap to that, right?
I hope. You hope he's happy with it, right?
Yeah, you got to kind of tip of the cap to that. And I'm on, and some of these guys are out there already, some not, but it's early on regardless. Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, Daniel Berger, who has not teed off yet, Ryan Gerard in the AT&T Pebble Beach. Russell Henley, plus 105 on the top 20, and then Rio Hisatsune, which I have him in the top 20. He is 2-under already on the round. So good start for that top 20 bet with him, nearly 3-1 on it.
See 3-under through 3. This is wild. Wild to watch. I made this. I made my first NCAA tournament future bet this week. Kansas 20-1. Let's go.
You got talked into it here. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, it sounds like the easiest conversation. This is like when Will Hill came on about this time last year, and he was like, so this Rutgers team has 2 guys that are going to be lottery picks. So you get 200-1 in the Big Ten tournament. I was like, sign me up. That's the easiest thing I've ever heard. Here's all my golf bets. Again, we're just getting underway. I know most books allow you to jump in live on most of these markets, so we figured we'd go over them quick for you guys. Henley outright 33-1, Maverick McNealy outright, Shane Lowry outright, Chris Kirk outright, top 10 on Henley, top 20s on Henley, McNealy, Lowry, Pearson Cootie, and Ricky Fowler. Tournament matchups will have started by now. So sorry on that one.
Yeah, there's
that
there's,
one you're not gonna be able to get.
Adam Rosenberg joined us earlier. Mariners longest win streak over 7.5 games. You can get plus money on that. He has the Braves to miss the playoffs. Now, this was made before Schwellenbach news, but still Braves to miss the playoffs. He likes the Pirates, 85 plus wins at over 6-1. Gunnar Henderson, Orioles' best record. Gunnar Henderson, MVP. He and I both high on this Orioles team. That being said, bad news yesterday is Jackson Holliday will miss some time early on in the season.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be tailing you guys on the window.
What do we think about old Wyatt's bets here? Only two guys with B last names. This is uncalled for. Can we even read these?
Well, then only two of them have a chance to win.
Exactly.
Right? Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Austin Cindric, Ryan Preece, Brad Keselowski, Tyler Reddick, Corey LaJoie, Shane Van Gisbergen. I think I got that right. All outrights in Daytona 500 for our man Wyatt Tomczyk, who, if you listen to the show, watch the show you've seen on this desk regularly.
Go in and listen to the podcast version where he explains some differences in the season this year and also just some outright and live betting strategy here for the 500. Kyle Busch over a half a win. By the way, he's not won in 93 straight races, so this is a bold prediction by one Wyatt Tomczyk.
Yeah, over a half win, and Ross Chastain over one and a half.
Plus 145 there on Ross Chastain winning two races this year. How many races are in a season?
I was just sitting here thinking that and how much, like, what's the average leader have every year, right? Like, I don't know, 36 is what it is.
Joe Sheen's in love with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loves them. Pennant, World Series. He has an exacta of them over the Mariners. And he likes the Diamondbacks, though. That, again, we had all the hamates yesterday. And so just to put out there, this was made before the Corbin Carroll news that he also has a handmade injury.
So where is the handmade? Right here?
Right around the
karate chop?
Underside of the hand.
So like the baseball bat.
You pull down on the knob of the bat with it, and I guess at some point you've done something to it.
I feel like we should have heard of more of these.
Here's the thing. What has happened is it's the same deal with the ACLs and the Achilles and all those. We have adapted as athletes faster than evolution has helped our bodies adapt. Mm. And so we're faster, bigger, stronger, know how to train better, do things fast, you know, like swing faster, jump higher, all that. But our bodies, I mean, it took us millions of years for us to get us where we are right now. We learned how to do all this crazy stuff in like the last 30 years, in the last 20 years.
You don't have to tell me. It's a daily battle for me. Yeah.
Cubs over, Brewers over, Phillies under, Braves under. So that's kind of consistent with what we heard from a little bit earlier. Loves the Cubs. Doesn't love the Braves. Phillies are old. And even though he likes the Cubs, he also likes the Brewers to have a good season.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in Joe's mouth, but is this the Mets then? He likes the Mets in the East?
He says he does like the Mets over there. That's kind of the way that he was heading with all that. Of course, guys, you can catch every one of these plays and more over at VSiN.com. If you're not already a VSiN Pro subscriber, you can dip your toe in for as little as $9.99. Go in. You get all of these bets from the hosts, the guests. You can rewatch all of the shows as well. And of course, you get those AI-powered props, you get the matchup tools, you get the splits, and of course, all betting guides that happen to come out in that month that you are trying us out. So again, vsiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99.
That's right.
Basically free, Kelly.
Basically free.
Just don't go in and don't buy one coffee this week. And then there you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically what it comes down to. Okay, so we're not going to have time to get to all of these real quick. So do you want to do Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, or MVP?
We'll say Coach of the Year.
Because we can swing back to the other two tomorrow.
Yeah, Coach of the Year, I think, is a bigger, longer conversation. Okay. I think MVP, I just want to update these odds because Jokic obviously back, and every time he puts up a big game, you're going to see this number come down, especially while Shea is missing games. So this has been a tough conversation for a few weeks, a month, 2 months now, Matt. Like, I don't know if you have a feel for this, but this is Shea's out. Jokic is going to be back. This gap's going to get closer and closer and closer. I like to compare this conversation to Defensive Player of the Year because I did bet Victor Wembanyama in that about a week ago. It's gambling, right? We can only miss a couple more games. And if he does, he's not going to qualify for the award. The difference in my mind between MVP and Defensive Player of the Year is if Wemby clears that game's limit, he's winning the award. That's all you have to worry about. Nikola Jokic, and I have tickets on Jokic from the beginning of the season. I love that he's back playing for Denver, even as a chance at MVP. Just because he clears the minimum number to play, it doesn't mean he's going to win this award. So
the interesting thing about SGA, Jokic, and Luka is they've all missed time.
Yeah.
And like, so another stint could get it to a point in which they don't qualify. That's why I don't hate when people say they want to take Cade Cunningham or Jaylen Brown or something like that, because they might get themselves into the conversation just by default.
Man, the Donovan Mitchell props number really plummeted since, I guess, just since James Harden was added to the team. I don't know. I think he belongs more up there in the conversation. Jaylen Brown, Cade Cunningham, absolutely deserving in the East. And why not Wemby, right? If Wemby gets there, he's got an argument.
Maybe we'll make a bet on the show tomorrow. Guys, don't go anywhere. Prop Points is after us. Money Moves, and then Follow the Money with Stormy and JVT. Good luck on all your bets.